Oh my God, Christian, the guest list edition is out. How do you feel? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, Kieran. How do I feel? Where do I begin? That doesn't sound negative. So I won't begin. I'll let you begin first.
So I was excited, right? Like, because I've heard, you know, writing songs about you. I heard that before. And as soon as I woke up a couple of minutes ago, I played it and instantly fell in love again with it. I think it's the perfect song of the three, because just when you think about it, you've got the years and years, like, you hardcore into the club. You've got, you know, the Kiss of Life, where you're like, okay, yeah, this is all right. I might go for a drink in the middle of it or something like that. And then at the end of the night, they're playing the last song. And this is the last song before you head out from the club, I think, to go to an after party or something. I am obsessed with this song. I love it.
Oh, no, I really do like it. I think the tune is very good. It's a really good melody. And as the song progresses, it gets better and better. And the last minute and a half is really, really good.
Don't they sound really good together?
Well, that's what I'm going to come to. There's two things I had a little bit of a problem with. The song is brilliant, so don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking the song. I think the production of it is a little bit kind of heavy because there's some great chords in there, but the chords get lost because of the heavy production. That said, once you play it a few times, you get used to the production and it doesn't sound quite so heavy-handed.
Yeah.
So I've listened to it a few times now and I really, really like it. It's very catchy in my head.
Different, right? It's something that you wouldn't expect of it. I thought it'd be very... I just love it. I'm obsessed.
Yeah. Regarding Gloria Gaynor, I'm not sure if it's just what I'm listening to or how I'm listening to the song, but it does sound like she's recording it down a wind tunnel. It doesn't sound quite, unless it's in her own kitchen, and maybe it's not as swish as Kylie's kitchen, but the vocals are a little bit odd. Now, the only thing I do have a problem with this song is the lyrics just make it sound like it's a love song between the two of them, which makes it quite weird. I was kind of hoping that the song that she would do with a diva like Gloria Gaynor would be a bit like Enough is Enough type song, where it's like two singers battling against each other in a disco, you know, sensation. And it just feels like they're singing a song to each other or they're singing about someone, but then are they going to be arguing over a man or a woman or whoever? It just seemed lyrically, it didn't work for me. But that said, I think the song is absolutely brilliant, really, really catchy. And it is one of those real growers, because the more you hear it, the more you're kind of singing it afterwards. But as I said, that last 1.5 minutes of the song, you really hear all the really nice music and the really nice chords. And I'm very satisfied with it. I think it's a really, really, really good song. I think it's a classic song.
I can't wait for the remixes on this.
Yes.
I think it's going to be incredible. But also, I was just checking. This is also probably the first song on disco that Kylie hasn't written.
Oh,
she hasn't co-wrote this song, which is interesting.
Who wrote it?
It's written by Daniel Davison, Ian James, Peter Welnvik and Sinead Monica Harnett.
What if Ian James is the Ian James who used to be in 888? Because he writes lots of Eurovision songs, and I wonder.
Maybe. I-A-I-N James.
A-I-A?
A-I-A-N.
Yeah,
but, okay, now can we just go through the other songs then? I want to send something out to the universe. Everyone close their eyes and manifest this with me. Basement Jax, don't do another remix. Do you agree? I'm just bored of them. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing different in their remixes. They all sound the same.
It's not even that. It's just, I think, it's just not a very good remix. It doesn't do anything with the song. It actually made the song really quite difficult to listen to.
Yeah.
This is the problem. The remixes aren't very good, and it's kind of like stuff that you wouldn't expect to put on the...
Hold your tongue, though. The Dance Floor Darling Lindsay Electric Slide remix. Oh, Christian, stop it. It's sensational.
And because they need to listen to it more times. It just sounds a bit noisy. It was a bit noisy.
Because they've used a sample from Loverboy and also Candy's Cameo, or Cameo's Candy. So basically, you know, that kind of really thumping bass line. I loved it ever since. Well,
I need to hear it again. The Basement Jax remix is terrible. And I think, where did the F9 club mix? It just sounds a little bit cheap, and I don't think it's very good. It doesn't feel like there's anything done to it. When you compare it to something like, you know, when it isn't done in a knowing, tongue-in-cheek kind of way, like the Real Groove in initial talk mixes, and it's kind of done with a bit of sense of, with a bit of humor. So I thought that was a bit rubbish. And I do really, the other remixes were kind of, you know, the ones we've heard before, except extended. So they were fine to me, but I just thought the new ones were a bit disappointing. They didn't deserve a place on the album, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I'm just, as you know, we all know my viewpoints. I'm just a little disappointed that we only got three songs and a couple of...
Five at least. And don't you agree, though? Don't you think they should have had a song, Gloria and Kylie, where they were kind of being a little bit more kind of diva-esque?
Yeah, but what I kind of like about this is kind of unexpected. It may be a little bit Gloria Gaynor might be a little bit underused, if that's a word. Like, she really doesn't, like, show a chop, so disco chops in this song. But I do love it. And I think
it's a great song. It's a great song.
It's probably one of Kylie's greatest duets in her career, which is just very exciting.
Don't get me wrong. I think it's a really, really good song, and I will be playing it all day today.
Yes.
But I think it could have been a Kylie solo song. I just wish her and Gloria were standing on some mountaintop singing some completely ridiculous disco anthem that ends in such a crescendo that the two would be blown off a mountain.
Okay, let's talk about Step Back in Time, because we have so much to cover, and we probably won't cover it all. So
no. But what was out this week, years ago?
Oh my God, buckle up your seatbelts, because, okay, we've got on the 6th of November 2020, we had Disco released. On the 7th of November 2000, we had Hits Plus. On the 7th of November 2018, we had Sincerely Yours from Golden. On the 9th of November 2007, we had Two Hearts. On the 9th of November 2015, we had Only You from Kylie's Christmas. On the 10th of November 2003, we had Body Language. And on the 11th of November 2002, we had Come Into My World. Holy shit, what a week in the Kylie annals.
You know what? Let's do all of them, but let's just do a sentence for each one. A sentence for each one, and then that way, because otherwise we're repeating ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Disco, you go first.
Didn't like it to start with, loved it now. I loved it afterwards, love it even more now.
Disco, similar for me, but now is one of my favorite Kylie albums of all time. Mm. Hits Plus.
Which one was that one?
It was kind of the rarities from the deconstruction.
Yeah, dreary, you could see why they weren't released properly.
Really good album. I think This Girl is one of Kylie's undiscovered gems. Golden, Sincerely Yours from Golden.
Yeah, I like that song. It's one of my favourite songs on the album. And you know, I wasn't a massive fan of it. So yeah, it was one of my favourites.
A Love Letter to Her Fans. And it's one of my favourite songs from the Golden as well. Two Hearts from X.
Took me by surprise when it came out. Didn't like it at the time. Not a massive fan of it now. But there is a remix version that she released at the time that I quite liked. It wasn't that much different, but it sounded quite good. So it's a good song because it was a little bit different for her.
That was like a paragraph, not a sentence. So Two Hearts for me would be not a Kylie song. 9th of November 2015, we had Only You from Kylie's Christmas.
Oh, I love it because her voice sounds lovely. And you know what? As much as everyone hates James Corden, I think his voice sounds really lovely on it.
I agree. I think it's one of the great best things James Corden's ever done is to sing on this.
It's a beautiful song.
It's Body Language, the album, on the 10th of November 2003.
Love Slow, love Red-Blooded Woman, love Chocolate, for the rest of it.
For me, I'm still waiting for this song to grow on me. There's some great singles on there. I still listen to it every now and then, but yeah, it's a 7 out of 10. Oh, no, 6.5 out of 10 for me.
Body Language?
Yeah.
All right. Weird.
Come Into My World, Fever, the single.
I like it, don't love it, like the video.
I could give or take this song, but I love the video.
Mm.
Cool. Awesome, a very busy week.
It'd be a much shorter episode.
Love it. Okay, so should we go to our Finogue?
Oh, let's. Who is it this week?
We are going all the way to Philadelphia to speak to the amazing Greg. And just apologies, guys, on this recording, I had a massive... I've still got a little bit of a nasally cold, but we recorded this last week or when I was like proper ill and I looked terrible. So apologies, Greg. But yeah, here's the interview.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're fine. Lovely to meet you.
It's wonderful to meet you too. Thank you for having me on.
It's our pleasure. Now, first of all, before we begin, tell us a little something about yourself. Where are you coming from? Who are you? Who do you live with? Are you married? Give us all the details.
I am married. My my husband is a radiologist, and that's sort of how we came to be in Philadelphia right now. He had been in training the past 7 years, so we were kind of up and down the East Coast, Boston, DC, Baltimore, and Philly. So right now we're here. I am a music therapist, which is, I use music to as a tool to work with people to achieve non-musical goals. It's a very interesting form of expressive arts therapy.
Now, as an American, obviously Kylie has had a very kind of checkered career in America. So how did you come across her, and when did you fall in love with Kylie?
So obviously the first introduction I had to Kylie, which was The Locomotion, of course. But I'm 42 now, so I was only about 7 or 8 years old then. And I didn't really associate that with anybody in particular. I didn't know who Kylie was, but I knew, obviously, I was a kid. I was doing The Locomotion. The second part of my Kylie journey was Can't Get You Out of My Head and Fever. And I heard Ian McKellen on Saturday Night Live introduce her and tell us as an audience how lucky we all were to be experiencing Kylie Minogue. And I just thought, who is this person? You know, I have to know everything about her. And then, of course, I bought Fever and I loved it. I loved all the singles from the album. I thought it was just, and then, of course, what was it, 2 years later that Body Language came out, and Slow became, and is still to this day, one of my favorite Kylie songs. I just think I love how minimalistic it is, and how I could use a whole album of songs just like Slow. In fact, I had read somewhere that Britney Spears' song Toxic was originally supposed to be for Kylie for the Body Language album, and that she didn't choose it for some reason. I thought, oh God, what a mistake that was.
Steve Anderson wrote Breathe On Me, which was on the In The Zone album, which Toxic was on.
I did Steve Anderson for that.
Yeah, Steve wrote that.
That's one of my favorite Britney songs.
It's amazing.
It's a great long remix that's really, really good. And I always think of that with Slow. Oh, I didn't realize that. That's amazing. Interesting.
Question, Greg. So you said you just heard The Locomotion when you were a kid. Was you doing The Locomotion, was that a strong enough song for you to buy the first Kylie album? Or you just heard that song and I was like, oh, okay, that's a great song. And you didn't really discover Kylie until 2002.
I was so young then. I was probably 8 years old. So I didn't start buying tapes until until I was about 10. And that was when I was buying Madonna, Whitney Houston. So not to suggest that it wasn't strong enough. It's just that I didn't really, it was sort of like, there were so many, you know, when you're a kid, you just listen to whatever's on the radio. Casey Kasem's Top 40, you know, I would listen to that song because it was on. But I think I had my George Michael tapes, like all the, you know, but Kylie, so no, not yet. I didn't buy my first Kylie anything until Fever.
And so when you listened to Fever and you realized that she was this new icon in your life, did you then start looking back to her back catalog? And when you did, what stood out?
So not yet. That came in in phase three of, or part three, and part three goes till today, of my Kylie journey. And that started with Ultimate Kylie. I loved Fever, Body Language. I loved Slow and Red Blooded Woman. Oh, and I loved the Money Can't Buy concert where she, you want to hear me say pop? And she was up on that, you know, whatever she was sitting on. That far. And I thought, oh, it was so gorgeous. And the, you know, the look of that album was stunning.
Yeah. The best she's ever looked, I think.
I preferred that look to like over the Fever look, although I was obsessed with the Brit Awards performance where she came in on the CD, you know, and they like, and the crowd was out of control. I mean, people were like rabid for Kylie at the time.
Rabid.
As was I. But then when Ultimate Kylie came out, it was like, it was the first time I heard Better the Devil You Know, which is my like other of Slow and Better the Devil You Know are my favorite Kylie songs. It was like heaven opened up with Better the Devil You Know. That I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And then to find out that it had come out like in 1990, I was like, where have I been? You know, but
that must be a weird thing, because it must make you think, oh my God, how much have I missed out on? Because sometimes I'll come across an artist and I'll like a song, then I'll do a bit of research, then realize that their songs in their back catalog are brilliant. And I'm thinking, where was I? Where how did I miss this?
Yeah. So in the course of one album, I discovered, and I wrote this down, I discovered all All at Once, Better the Devil You Know, I Should Be So Lucky, Step Back in Time, Shocked, What Do I Have to Do, Hand on Your Heart, I Believe in You, Spinning Around and Confide in Me.
Mind blowing, all at once.
Yeah, like, who is, right? So I had known that I liked Can't Get You Out of My Head and Love at First Sight and, you know, Come Into My World, all those songs, and Slow and Red Blooded Woman, but when I heard Ultimate Kylie, it was like one song after another, which of course it's a greatest hit. So it would be, but to me, it was like a brand new experience. Yeah, so I had this like really, very accelerated Kylie course, you know, a crash course into Kylie. Excuse me while I sip on my Kylie tea. And then, as we all know, right after that, the greatest thing in the world, which was the Showgirl tour, happened. And when it was released on DVD, I mean, from that point, I like never looked back. It was like, I mean, the guys, I mean, she plays, knows how to play to her gay audience. I mean, the guys coming up in the shower to do Red Blooded Woman on stage, I was like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I had the vapors, you know, I mean, it was like, my gosh.
Love
it. Dive back into the early PWL. So you turned Better the Devil You Know, you turned What Do I Have to Do and Shocked. And I mean, yeah, they're amazing songs in their own right, aren't they? If you think about it, they're really good songs. So did you deep dive into the first Kylie album, Enjoy Yourself and Rhythm of Love?
I did. So then I went back and I mean, I'm like very obsessive by nature anyway. So I became like all in on Kylie, and I went to London on a vacation, and I went to the HMV, yeah, and I bought her a DVD, the Ultimate Kylie DVD. So then when I went back home, thankfully I had a region free.
Just gonna say, could you play it?
Yeah. But I was experiencing videos like Better the Devil You Know or What Do I Have to Do for the first time. And again, it was like this, like, I mean, I couldn't believe what I was seeing and how much I had missed out on. So the Stock Aitken Waterman days, obviously we knew like Rick Astley here in America because he had a couple of hits.
Yeah.
And I knew the Donna Summer album, that Another Place in Time. But Kylie, I can't believe I had missed all of this. And Rhythm of Love was just... I mean, it's like one hit after another, and just so, and of course I also knew NXS, so I knew Michael Hutchinson and the whole Michael Hutchins. I mean, I didn't know that Michael Hutchins and Kylie, like, it was like I was learning so much all at once about Kylie Minogue, and nobody around me knew who she was, except for that, for Can't Get You Out of My Head. People were like, oh, that girl that was on that, now that's what I call hit CD a couple of years ago, you know? And meanwhile, I was like, I had like thrown myself 100% into Kylie, which was amazing.
I love that. I love that you've actually done, like, you did this. Like, I just while you were talking, just thinking how I would have reacted by, you know, experiencing all that in such a very short time frame. Because obviously we've grown up with her for like 30 years now, more. But it's so interesting. So interesting.
So that's how, like, I mean, I'm a big Madonna fan too, and that's how Madonna was for me. Like, I always knew Madonna. Yeah. Like my whole life, because she was like everywhere here.
Yeah.
Even Paula Abdul, who interestingly has a lot of connection to Kylie, besides just Spinning Around. I mean, Boombox, Kylie, Paula has recorded, and I'm Just Here for the Music is a Paula Abdul song that was originally supposed to be for Kylie's Body Language album, but that Kylie didn't record and Paula did. So like, it's almost like all these different paths were like getting ready to lead to Kylie for me. And it just took a while before I like got there.
Quick question on Paula Abdul.
Okay.
Do you think she's a good vocalist?
Oh no. But, but you know, I've met Paula and she is so nice and so kind, and what a dancer, and great pop songs. I mean, she's an example of somebody that has taken the talent that she has and figured out how to like maximize it. And boy, did she have a comeback with American Idol, and you know.
She did this song with Randy from American Idol that I don't think anyone heard, but it was so amazing.
Dance Like There's No Tomorrow.
That's it. Incredible. I know. Incredible.
Incredible. Yeah. Yeah.
When you did listen back to all those old songs, did you, what kind of period of Kylie time did you prefer? Because I normally sound like a broken record when I kind of say I really love the earlier songs because there's something innocent and fresh about them, and they sounded a little bit different to even all the people at the, back in the day. And I think that, you know, as the time went on, the music became a little bit same. It was all very electronic. So for someone who came in so late and you heard both sides, well, you heard another side fresh, did you warm to that side more than the sounds you'd been listening to already?
I have always liked Kylie's... So as a person who, you know, I mentioned that I'm a music therapist, so I have a lot of background in music and I'm a singer myself. So I have always liked her, I like her voice more as she's aged. So I always like the music that's even more current. So as she's like, I liked the live recording of Showgirl, Better the Devil You Know, better than the original. Recording. I think that's because too, I mean, she was covered in feathers and there were hot men around her. So it like added to the whole thing for me. Yeah. But I love her voice. And I'll get more into that later, but I think she actually is a very talented vocalist. So
The other day Kieran and I were watching Kylie's Let's Get To It tour. And when you compare her vocal then to what it is now live. It's clear that her voice has grown. She's obviously trained it more, and she's got control of her voice, and it's remarkable. And you know, people in the early days used to say she couldn't sing. I mean, she may not have been. I mean, Madonna couldn't really sing either. But they've got something that's very special that they bring to pop music. And I don't like Whitney Houston, for example. I don't like those kind of really, you know, those amazing vocals. They put me off a little bit because they're so cold to me. But those kind of voices that are a little bit on the rough side, a bit like, you know, Kylie's and Madonna's. There's something about them that makes a song sound a little bit more personal, I think.
Yeah, it's like I was saying when Kieran asked me about Paula Abdul, and that was not a dig at Paula, by the way, talking about her voice. It's about taking the talent that you have and figuring out how to best sort of like navigate it to. But in Kylie's case, she actually is a talented vocalist, and that gets forgotten or like overlooked.
But
so to answer, that was a long-winded answer to your question, but I sort of gravitated to I say the newer stuff, but that's not, just sort of like, I like her voice more, you know, in Ultimate Kylie was out. I liked her voice on I Believe in You more than I did say, like, I Should Be So Lucky.
When it came to the Abbey Road album, obviously that was a bit more stripped back. So the vocal was a little bit more, you could hear it more. It wasn't so synthesized, so produced. Did that album tickle your ear more? Did you like that more?
I did. I mean, I love that album. I think I like when she takes chances. That's something that I've always liked about Kylie. I think that she takes chances even when it's not necessarily commercially or critically acclaimed. Like a lot of, I mean, I know that Impossible Princess is not your favorite. Christian, but I applaud her for like, and Kieran, you love that. That album. I applaud Kylie for deciding like, I'm going to like go out and do something completely different. I mean, 10 years prior, she was doing something so different that it would, you would never think. And a lot of people since then have compared that to Madonna's Ray of Light, which is considered, you know, a critical masterpiece. Mm. So and then Golden was also, something very different and out there. So I think that with the Abbey Road album, she was doing something different that people wouldn't necessarily expect, but it was also very natural for her. I mean, after she had turned White Diamond into a ballad and sort of gone that route, I think it just sort of very organically went that direction.
What do you think she should be doing next after Disco?
My husband wants her to do an entire album with her sister. My husband is obsessed with Danny, and even though he's like doesn't know any Danny music at all, he just thinks she's an underdog. And I'm like, she's not an underdog. She's famous in her own right. I mean, but he's like, oh, you gotta do. And I'm around the house, put the needle on it, but then you know, I'm singing around the house, singing Danny. But he wants a Danny Kylie album and tour. I'm not quite ready yet for the disco period to be over. I just need a disco tour. Whatever Kylie does, I want her to. I just want her to focus on her voice. I think that she did with Abbey Road, but I think she has quite a beautiful, like when she sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow, I was very fortunate to get to see her in New York at the For You For Me show, which, I mean, I later saw Aphrodite, but I will say the For You For Me, she sang, it was, her voice. I mean, I can't, I'm like out of control with that show. I can't even, it was like, this had all been building with Kylie. And then that, and the X album, you know, I know the X album was like hit or miss, but it's always a special album to me because it was the first album that came out post Ultimate Kylie. So I had gone through that really accelerated discovery of Kylie. And then X came, well, then of course, the breast cancer diagnosis. And then she came back with X, and it was like the first album that came out after I had fully gotten into Kylie. So I was really very much into that period of time. And then when she did that show in New York was like the, for me, for you, for me, it was called Kylie USA 2009, you know, at the time, but it was like a best of concert. Like I'm not talking about the song selection. I mean, like it was like taking the best clips, what do they call it? Like sections from each of her concerts and putting them all together and then presenting them. So a lot of American fans were like, well, what is this song? I mean, I don't know this. Well, I knew everything. And I also knew the routines they were going to perform because I had seen it on like every DVD since like Live in Sydney. And I was like, I can't believe I get to see it. It was like a magical moment in time. I have a bootleg of that show. It's the greatest thing.
They released that as an audio, like a digital that. Only. And it's the best she's ever sounded on that recording. It sounds phenomenal.
It was out of this world. It was like it was like being at a live show that was somebody's greatest hits and all happening in front of you. I mean, the skull from the X tour, but then again, the shower scene from Showgirl. I mean, it was like, and then she did that, like the Locomotion was the jazz number. I mean, it was just amazing. And then she had the horn players for Better the Devil You Know. I mean, we got tickets, but then it was like general seating. So we had to like sit on the street of New York City, like outside the Hammerstein Ballroom for like 12 hours or something to be able to get right near the stage, which thankfully we did. It was amazing. Yeah.
I love your enthusiasm. It's actually made me feel very, it's made me feel really giddy. It's lovely. It's lovely to hear. It's really lovely to hear. You said you're a musical therapist, and this isn't quite what you do, obviously, but we've spoken to various Fanodes, and I always am quite curious that a lot of Kylie fans have seen Kylie as a bit of a guiding light through their tough times in life, whether they're coming out or they're going through some life experience. What do you think it is about Kylie and her music that has helped people go through those times?
Well, like I can speak for me, Kylie, her music is just so comfortable, comforting, but also comfortable. Like being like sitting in a warm blanket by a fire, like just something that is familiar and comfortable. And like a lot of pop music or there's a lot of music that can be very abrasive and sort of political and hard to listen to. Kylie, she kind of has the ability to sort of give, she knows what her fans want, and she finds a way to sort of give her fans what they want. So it's very familiar and comfortable, I think. And then, you know, actually, has she helped me through, as I've listened to the podcast, I've, you know, heard a lot of people talk about specific periods in their life that she's helped. But I would say that for me, for over the past 20 years, she's kind of always been there as a very comforting voice. So I think she's sort of like, there's not one instance in particular. It's just, she's kind of always been there. Yeah. I mean, listen, I even have some fondness for Kiss Me Once because of where I was. I mean, there are some good aspects to that album, not the entire album. Mr. President is out of control, but there are some great moments on that album, you know?
Yeah.
Which would be your least favorite Kylie album of all time?
I don't know that I have a least favorite album because I thought about this question. I don't know that I would say I have a least favorite album because there are moments of just, there are treasures on each of her albums. But I think that there are only a few albums that I listen to straight through that I feel like are basically perfect from beginning to end. Light Years is one of them. Christian will be happy to hear me say. I love Light Years. I think that it's
fabulous.
I think it's exactly, I think it's just like a perfect Kylie album. I love Disco a lot. And I know that like, it's like the latest album, but I do love it. The one album that was hardest for me to learn, I think, to appreciate was Golden, because I'm not a country music fan. And Kieran, that's one of your favorites, right?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. It's not like a dig at Golden. I think that Kylie did a good job. I just felt like it became one note for me. There was a lot of that sort of like skippy guitar sound, like on so many songs, that I kind of was like, oh, let's, you know, I just, that when it came to like Rain and Glitter, I was so thrilled to have like a dance song. It just felt, but then I think, you know, like I wasn't fortunate enough to be able to go to the, to go to that show, because it didn't tour the United States. And, but I, of course I have the DVD, but I think she did a good job sort of taking her songs and putting them into that style. So none of her albums are, I would say, would be like least favorite. Because I think there are golden moments on every album.
Well, that's the thing. And with Disco, what do you make of the new songs that have just come out on the deluxe album?
I love the Years and Years song. I love both of the Years and Years songs. The Kiss of Life is fun. I think it's so disco. It's amazing. It sounds like it could have come out in 1979. But the one I'm really looking forward to is the Gloria Gaynor. I can't wait to hear it.
As an American, like, what did you think of the video of Kiss of Life?
I Googled it the second it ended to see if it was referencing something that I was missing. Like a movie or a TV show. I wasn't sure. I thought it was cute. I loved the ending, how she's typing like nonsense on the typewriter.
But that Madonna video, Madonna's concert for Madame X was there's that typewriter.
It was like Madame X. Yeah, it was like Madame X.
Madonna saying in that concert, gibberish.
And the same wig too, and the blonde wig, right? But I mean, the video was fun. It kind of was like, I'm not sure if it referenced something, you know, that I'm missing, but it's very 70s. I love everybody's looks. I loved when Kylie was talking about the line about getting a taste and she's sucking the spaghetti off of her plate. I laughed out loud, at that. I thought that was so cute.
She came across as a very good comedic actress. I also thought Jessie Ware was very funny too. I have a feeling the kitchen thing or the restaurant thing could have been because Jessie Ware's got a food book out. So I wouldn't be surprised if some kind of alluding.
And the podcast. Food,
Yeah, okay, but I thought the video was really good. It's like we said a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago on the podcast, that we wanted the video to be a little bit like a Jackie, because we thought the song sounded like a Jackie Collins movie soundtrack track.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I don't like the song, but watching the song with the video, the song is a lot better. And I really like the song more because it feels like it needed that kind of life to bring it to my attention more. It was really, yeah. I loved it.
I agree. I think that the song by itself is just kind of meh for me, but the video was fun and very 70s, very much fit.
That fake hand has made me laugh out loud. Kylie's reaction to the hand got taken out. It was hilarious.
That was fun, yeah.
But on the Years and Years song, did you love the video for that? Because that took us back to the 90s. And I loved her look. She was kind of wearing that kind of Rhythm of Love period outfit. It was just, and the song was kind of old school PWL a little bit.
It was. And it was cute how they switched outfits, you know, halfway through and they were both in each other's. I mean, he didn't come on my radar. See, it's funny. In America, we don't like. We don't get all the cool stuff until much later. Like, he didn't come on my radar until It's a Sin came out earlier this year. And so I saw him in that and I was like, oh, and then I the song came out this summer and I thought, oh yeah, okay. So I was able to but that's what I mean. Like with Kylie, we don't really, people don't, I don't know, they don't play. Like I was asking some of my friends before I did this podcast. I said, I said to my really good friend yesterday, did I introduce you to Kylie? And she said something like, you've introduced me to all the cool stuff that I like. And I was, and so, you know, I think, I feel like I have introduced people to, people don't necessarily, Kylie doesn't get like played here. I mean, gay men know who she is, but even then it's like Gaga gets played, you know, and Ariana Grande gets played, you know, but I mean, Kylie is, you know,
But I think that's the thing. I think that's the thing that bonds all the Finokes together in some way. This is the thing that I think Kieran and I discussed a while ago, and that it's the fact that Kylie's are kind of our little secret. And I think in one of the previous podcasts, I think you'll probably have heard me say it, but I was saying when she released "Can't Get You Out of My Head" and "Fever," we kind of lost our Kylie in it to a sense, because all of a sudden she became, everyone knew who she was. And then the music changed slightly, because I think the music's always been a little bit kind of a bit left of center, even though it's quite mainstream pop. It was quite rebellious back in the day, because that kind of music was frowned upon by music critics, and they thought the music was rubbish. And yet the music has lasted so long, and it's brilliant. And so I think that's the secret of Kylie. We all think she's our special little secret that we share with people, that we want to share her with. And I think that's a lovely thing. We pass her on to other people.
I mean, I would say that's even more of a thing when you're an American, because even fewer people know who she is here. So I feel like she's like my special, like, you know, like nobody knows. Like I have to say to them, oh, this is, you know, like, oh, you like dance music, you like pop music, well, try this, you know? And then it's like, oh, who is that? Oh, it's somebody that's been around since 1987, you know? And
You're a Kylie ambassador.
Yeah.
Keep flying that flag over there, Greg. Keep flying that flag in the US. Well, thanks so much for chatting to us, Greg. You've been an absolute gem. Thank you for sharing your stories.
Thank you so much for having me.
I love talking, you know, Greg's amazing. I love his love for Paula Abdul. and Paula Abdul's connections to Kylie. It's like six degrees of separation. I love it.
Yes, he was a joy. He was lovely. I very much enjoyed talking to him. And the look on his face when he saw your hideously ill face was enough to make me laugh. No, not really. He was enamored by you, as everyone is.
God, I remember you going, oh my God, you really do look terrible, Ken. I'm like, thanks, Christian.
I don't know, but well, you know, when you look so perfect day to day, when I see you ill, it's such
Stop it. Guys, please do get in touch if you want to have a chat to us at thekylesmileypodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook or Instagram at The Diminutive Collection. All right, Christian, well, I'll let you go to re-listen to that Disco's Guest List edition over and over again today. So have you got anything exciting happening today?
Well, I'm off to see Steps. Today's Friday. I'm going to Manchester and I'm going to see Steps.
Oh my God, you're homosexual. I love it.
No, I can't wait. Except I think they're doing a Motown section, which makes me think, oh God, people did that in the 90s. They don't do it now.
But toilet break. It's a chance for you to go to the bar and to buy your Steps t-shirts and mugs.
Well, I refuse to. My Jason Donovan t-shirt was enough.
All right, Christian, I'll talk to you later.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.